Welcome to KUI News, the collaboration between the University of Idaho's own student-operated radio station, KUI, and its editorially independent student newspaper, The Argonaut. Stay up to date on everything going on your campus and beyond every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. Once in the morning at 9:30 a.m., and once after you're actually awake at 3:30 p.m. Welcome to KUI News for Monday, April 1st, 2013. I'm Ron Burgundy. Upcoming on today's broadcast, Kason Christensen has a preview of this year's Boris Symposium, Sports, War, Peace, which kicks off at 7 p.m. tonight in the Sub Ballroom. Aaron Barucha takes a look at the new 15-credit course load advisors on campus are being urged to recommend to students. In sports, Kevin Bingaman talks to women's volleyball standout and U.S. national team hopeful Alyssa Schultz, and Theo Lawson has some headlines from around the world of sports. From RAR, our weekly arts and entertainment insert, Caitlin Krassel has some ideas to make your April Fool's Day a success. And Sean Kramer has this week's mixtape, the best Macklemore songs that aren't thrift shop. Lastly on KUI News, columnist Brian Marceau has his take on why gay marriage is not a slippery slope toward bestiality or polygamy, as claimed by many on the right. But first, this news. A year after solidifying itself as Idaho's flagship research university, and nearly 125 since it became the state's land-grant institution, the University of Idaho is without a president, after the announcement that Dwayne Nellis will be stepping down, leaving for Texas Tech in June. The university is left without a goal for campus enrollment, and at the root of the problem are those two prestigious terms. Associate Vice President of Enrollment Management, Steve Neheisel.
And a land-grant flagship, those two terms actually don't connect well.
Yeah.
And there's not very many schools in the country that have both of those responsibilities. Conflict is too strong a word, but they're not always synonymous.
The stated goal of outgoing President Nellis was to grow enrollment to 16,000 students just in Moscow by 2020, a lofty goal considering the number of students in Moscow has changed little in a decade. But for Provost Doug Baker, enrollment is everyone's concern.
So enrollment management is everybody's responsibility in the institution to recruit and retain students.
The task force has implemented strategies like the early grade warning system, campus live-on requirement, and the new 15-credit advising measure, all to keep students on the graduation path. Finances, of course, are another important factor in keeping enrollment up. Dan Davenport, Director of Student Financial Aid Services, focuses on getting families to overcome their worries about paying for college.
Our ability to show them acceptable ways to finance it, and I use the word acceptable because that varies with every person, has a huge impact on whether they go on to college and where they go on to college.
The problem for Davenport is that financial aid is never guaranteed for the full 4 years.
If we are really serious about getting more students to graduate and go to college, in my humble opinion, that's where we got to move.
Yeah.
We've got to tell them, for your product, your degree, this is the financing that we can help you to get your product. Just like we do with a car, just like we do with a house.
The total amount of financial aid disbursed, $125 million in 2012, is up 46%, with most of that increase coming in the form of loans. However, the new Discover Idaho scholarship is working to make up for the loss of the Western Undergraduate Exchange, or WUWE scholarship.
The concept is the same in that it's dollars to help reduce the cost of out-of-state tuition. The hard thing with WUWE is that it had a very recognized name.
Discover Idaho gives the department more flexibility to prioritize where the money goes, like giving more to certain students or going outside of a certain geographic region. Another UI standard under consideration is the admission requirements.
Our entrance scores have varied little over the last decade. So GPA and SAT, ACT haven't changed very much. We're not going to reduce our standards.
Instead, what Neheisel and others are potentially advocating is increasing those standards as a retention strategy. By setting the bar high, Niehiesel said the university could bolster its flagship reputation.
The challenge is increasing the college going rate, and the second challenge is making sure that those who do graduate are college ready and meet our standards.
However, it is the second of those two prestigious terms that forced Niehiesel to ensure access to as many students as possible. Despite the university being in a state of transition, the enrollment office has continued to work on increasing the number of students who apply, are admitted, and then show up in the fall.
So we're targeting modest growth at all three, and then that adds up.
It adds up to 569 new applicants and 259 more students admitted than at this point last year. Yet any goals past this upcoming school year remain unclear for Idaho's flagship land-grant institution.
Beyond 13, I'm waiting to hear what the task force says, waiting to see what the new president says.
For KUI News, I'm Dylan Brown.
Starting fall 2013, University of Idaho advisors are being urged to push their advisees to take at least 15 credits every semester. During an academic presentation on Vandal Friday, UI announced that its justification for this new suggestion is that it will increase the likelihood a student will succeed in their first year and it will improve the chances of a student graduating. According to the Complete College America Initiative, students who attempt at least 15 credits per term are significantly more likely to graduate from a university. Andrew Bruick, the Director of Academic Advising, said, "Based on national data, the best practice for UI students would be to enroll in 15 or more credits per term." UI junior Taylor Rogers said he feels if advisors start recommending students take a higher amount of credits, they should increase the maximum amount of credits you can take as well. Bruick, however, disagrees. He said 15 credits are a good threshold and allow students in critical situations to drop a 3-credit class while still remaining full-time. He doesn't see it as being beneficial to the students to raise the max cap. Bruick also said most of the majors at UI require 120 credits. At 15 credits a semester, a student is assured to graduate on time. That being said, there are certainly students for whom 15 credits is too much. Bruick said the university understands that there are students who are working full-time, raising a family, or have other obligations besides school. He reassures that there is no shame in being between 12 and 15 credits. If that better fits your life, then no problem. Bruick said taking 15 credits a semester will help students have steady progress to their degree. It will help them feel engaged to the university, and it will push them to go further. For KUOI News, I'm Aaron Barucha.
There are a lot of fields here on the Palouse, but this year's Bora Symposium focuses on the battlefield and its relationship with the fields of athletic competition. Sports, war, peace is the theme of this year's symposium, and Kason Christensen has this story on what to expect from this year's event.
Soldiers and athletes are symbols of national pride, according to Lisa Salisbury, co-chair of the Bora Symposium and coordinator of programs at the University of Idaho Women's Center. Both of these groups represent their countries in conflicts, one through war and one through sports. The theme for the 2013 Bora Symposium is Sports, War, Peace, Beyond the Battlefield. Ellen Cattell, the other co-chair and a professor in the history department, said the use of the word field was intentional, battlefield, football field, and so on. Salisbury said sports bring countries at war, internally as well as externally, together. The symposium will open at 7 p.m. Monday in the Student Union Building Ballroom with the film One Goal about amputee soccer in Sierra Leone. The filmmaker, Sergei Agosti, along with two others, will present some of the background for the film and then will be available for comments after. Dee Malchow, an amputee and Washington native, will also present at the film showing. A founding member of American Amputee Soccer, she started Amputee Soccer in Sierra Leone while on a mission trip there in 2001. Tuesday's symposium event will feature a panel discussion at 11 a.m. with three representatives from non-governmental organizations, Fields of Growth International, Right to Play, and Soccer Without Borders. The discussion will take place in the Sub-Silver Gold Room. Tuesday at 7 p.m., Alexander Wolf, a writer for Sports Illustrated, will give a speech in the Sub-Ballroom. Starting at 10 a.m. Wednesday, there will be participant-driven workshops in the Kibbe Dome, hosted by the three non-governmental organizations. Salisbury said this is the first time the Boras Symposium has done anything like these workshops, at least since she arrived at UI in 2005. Carly Laufer, a senior international studies major and member of the Bora Committee, said these workshops will be an opportunity to see what these organizations do and how they do it. Johan Olav Kaas, who will give the keynote address at 7 p.m. Wednesday, started Right to Play after traveling in underdeveloped areas of the world. Cattell said he saw places where children did not know how to play. He founded Right to Play to change that. The idea behind the symposium's organization is for students to see the topic in the film, discuss it at the panel, participate in it, and wrap everything together with the keynote. For KUOI News, I'm Kason Christensen.
The clubs are all closed and the people are leaving. There's nobody, nobody knows on the street. A few stranded souls standing cold at the station. And nowhere to go but to bed and to sleep. Lord, would you look at you now that you're here? Ain't you proud?
That was the first of three duets to be featured here on KUI News. That was Don McCarthy and indie legend Bonnie Prince Billy with Breakdown. There has been no real off-season for one Vandal volleyball standout. Alyssa Schultz has been working to win a spot on the U.S. national volleyball squad. With a profile of this alternate selection for Team USA, here's Kevin Bingaman.
After helping her team reach the WAC championship game last season, Idaho volleyball player Alyssa Schultz took her talents to Denver in February, where she tried out for the U.S. Olympic team and was named as an alternate to the A2 team. The 6'3" middle blocker will be entering her junior season and has already amassed an impressive record at Idaho. She was named to the WAC All-Freshman team in 2011 and earned first-team All-WAC honors as a sophomore in 2012, hitting a staggering .340 on the season, which ranked 4th in the conference. Schultz was named as an alternate to the A2 team. The A2 team is one step below the national team, but practices and plays in multiple tournaments. Depending on the situation, Schultz could have an opportunity to play and practice with the team this summer. Schultz will be one of the few experienced returners coming back for Idaho next season, as the Vandals lost 6 players to graduation, but said she's confident in what the team has returning. Having a crack at getting on a national team is becoming a common occurrence at Idaho. Last year, Allison Baker tried out for the U.S. national team, and at the end of April, Idaho junior Ashley Krishman and former Vandal Janelle Chow will try out for the Canadian national team. In the end, Idaho coach Debbie Buchanan said it shows how good the program has become, and it helps the players get better. For KUI News, I'm Kevin Bingaman.
Up next, Theo Lawson with some headlines from around the world of sports.
Ron Verlin named Pacific head coach. Fresh off its NCAA tournament appearance, the University of Pacific hired Ron Verlin, twin brother of Idaho coach Don Verlin, as the men's basketball team's new head coach. Ron Verlin is a 19-year associate head coach at Pacific and will replace Bob Thomason following the conclusion of his 25th year as coach in Stockton, California. The Tigers fell in the first round of the NCAA tournament to number 2 seed in Miami. Vandal Swimming, 25th. The Idaho swimming and diving team was ranked number 25 in the country in the annual collegeswimming.com mid-major Division I poll. Last month, the Vandals finished with the season-best fourth-place finish at the Western Athletic Conference meet. Despite having only 2 seniors, the team managed to break 13 school records this season. "It is great for this program to be recognized as one of the best mid-major teams in the country," Coach Mark Soa said. "We have spent the last 2 years building something pretty special, and it is nice for that progress to be seen on a national level." WAC honors Cirstea. Idaho senior Marius Cirstea was honored as the WAC Tennis Player of the Week after his performances against Liberty University and Hawaii. Playing in the number 2 position, Cirstea won a close singles match, 7-6, 6-4. Later in the week, he went on to win 6-2, 6-4 in the number 3 spot and teamed up with Abid Akbar to win a doubles match, 8-5, against Hawaii as the Vandals improved to 15-1 as a team. Women's soccer wins spring opener. The Vandal women's soccer team beat North Idaho College 4-0 Saturday in the first of four spring games. Idaho began the game with an early goal and didn't let up. The girls played with a lot of confidence, with a smile on their face, and we competed everywhere, Coach Pete Scholler said. A team like NIC is going to come in here and try to rattle us and play physically. They tried to do that, and we handled it well and played good soccer. The Vandals' Marina Siegel shined in her first game as starting goalkeeper. Scholler is pleased about how his team played, but said there are some things to work on. The Vandals' spring soccer schedule will see Idaho play Central Washington University at 2 p.m. Saturday, April 6th on the Sprint Turf, before hosting the annual alumni game at 9:30 a.m. Sunday, April 7th, also on the Sprint Turf. The spring slate will conclude on the Sprint Turf when Walla Walla Community College visits Moscow for a 1 p.m. match. For KUOI News, I'm Theo Lawson. Used to always give me her smile, and she looked so fine, she was sweet and kind. She let me get to know her a while, oh, for a little while. Back when the milk train used to rumble my shack, used to stop outside of my door. But now the milk train doesn't come by here anymore. Now I still live in that railroad shack, and I wander down that dusty old track like a lonely old timer out of my mind, looking for that lady who was sweet and kind to me.
Milk Train, the second duet from Don McCarthy and Bonnie Prince Billy, and their album made in collaboration, titled What the Brothers Sang. Everybody knows Thrift Shop, and it seems everyone is excited about Macklemore's visit to campus for Finals Fest on May 3rd. But what do you know about everyone's favorite new rapper before he hit the big time? With a look at the five tracks you must know to truly be a Macklemore fan, here's Sean Kramer.
The University of Idaho community has been buzzing over a month now about what might be the biggest get in Finals Fest history, Macklemore and Ryan Lewis, who will rock the Kivvy Dome on May 3rd. You can't go anywhere without hearing Thrift Shop, and as a Seattleite, that's very annoying. So if you love Thrift Shop, here's a list of Macklemore songs prior to the heist that you should give a try. Since for a sheer instant, I become one with it. This man up to 10 when I listen, like I was set on this mission. Places I've been when I'm with them, I'm feeling the most high when I got my pen, and I'm scripting no end, just beginning as I end. The Magic. Want to get inside the head of how a young Macklemore wrote a song? This is an essential track off of his Language of My World album. This is the classic track about how a hip-hop artist going through the ebbs and flows of life and how he translate those experiences into rhymes on a piece of paper. Pre-funkin' in my house, in high school it was drinking games, bad house parties and ice house. But now we go on the town, we gotta hit the club, we gotta spend them books, and we gotta get it crunk. 7-4 drinking, 15 cash at the entrance, and thank heaven Wells Fargo's got overdraft protection. The Club. Put in Moscow terms, this track is basically what happens to 90% of us dudes who go out to CJ's on a Friday night with high expectations. What people love about Thrift Shop is Macklemore's sense of humor and how he puts it together with clever rhymes, flow, and a non-satirical feel. The song delivers just as much, if not more, than Thrift Shop. This is my offering card. The only thing I have to offer is bars. The only time I felt like I was talking to God was in my Walkman, walking with Nas. All right, see, I'll be going to Sunday school every week. In the back, trying to read, but see, something was off. Maybe Church, featuring Geologic of the Blue Scholars. A common reoccurring theme in Macklemore's music is religion. Not to praise it, not even to diss it, but to look at it objectively. In this track, Macklemore tells us why his religion is music, but how he respects the Catholic culture he was raised in, even if it's not his way of life anymore. People lost who really try to pretend, but am I just another white boy who's caught on to the trend? When I take a step to the mic, is hip-hop closer to the end? Because when I go to shows, the majority have white skin. They marketed the windmill, the air flare and head spin, and white rappers' albums really get the most. White privilege. This track gets to the heart of the crusade Macklemore is on to make us reflect what hip-hop culture really is, how we treat it, and what we as consumers are turning it into in relation to race. Appreciation for the history of hip-hop and where it came from is a recurring theme for Macklemore's music, and this track from the Language of My World album is where it all starts.
We put our glass to the sky and lift up and live tonight, cause you can't take it with ya. So raise a pint for the people that aren't with us and live tonight, cause you can't take it with ya. We put our glass to the sky and lift up and live tonight, cause you can't take it with ya.
Irish celebration. Macklemore isn't from Ireland. He's from Capitol Hill. But that didn't stop him from paying homage to his heritage. It's a track that all can relate to who are proud of their heritage.
Well, today is the first, but if you don't have any ideas yet, you're in luck. Caitlin Krassel from the RAR magazine has just the tricks you need to make April Fools a success.
The 1st of April is that day everyone says they're going to be witty and play pranks on the world. But when the time actually comes, they're either too busy, too poor, or lacking creative ideas. April Fool's Day falls partway through the semester, and by that time, everyone's just ready for summer to start. But with 6 weeks left in the semester, many people could use a good laugh. April Fool's pranks don't have to be grandiose or original. Pranks should be fun, relatively safe, and most importantly, unexpected. Here's a few you might want to try when the time comes, but make sure your friends don't see it coming or the fun will be ruined. Hello, Jello. It was funny on The Office, and it's funny in real life, too. Take something your friend uses often and put it in Jell-O. To pull this off, choose your favorite flavor of Jell-O and prepare according to the box instructions. When the Jell-O is partially set, add your stolen object and allow the Jell-O to firm completely. It may take more than one packet of Jell-O powder, depending on the weight of your object. Once it's done, leave it where your victim will find it and wait. Hidden water gun. This prank is best for roommates. If you're fortunate enough to have a sprayer on your sink, use clear tape to hold down the lever. The next time they turn the sink on, they'll get a spray in the face. Just don't forget you did it and accidentally prank yourself. Holy water. If your friend still uses disposable plastic water bottles, sneak one away and make sure the lid is on tight and it is completely full. Use a small push pin to poke holes in the bottom. A little water will drip out when you do this, but the pressure will make it stop. When your victim is feeling thirsty, the water will leak out the bottom as soon as they remove the lid. Munchie Madness. Another trick best for roommates. Take their favorite box of munchies or cereal out of the cupboard, remove the bag of goodies, and cut out the bottom of the box. Place the empty box back in the cupboard and pour the contents of the bag directly into the box. Close the lid and wait for the next time your victim is feeling hungry. Watch as the contents of their favorite snack end up all over the counter and floor. Language barrier. Change a language on your friend's cell phone or Facebook. Just make sure you know how to change it back when they need it for something important. For KUOI News, I'm Caitlin Krasselt.
If the red and pink equal sign all over your Facebook feed are any indication, gay marriage is gaining traction more broadly in our society. However, for some, the practice now legal in 9 states is a slippery slope towards polygamy and bestiality. With his column and why this is a ludicrous argument, here's Brian Marceau.
Since no real horse whisperer divining the sexual consent of Kentucky Derby winners exists, we can dismiss the impending bestiality objection to same-sex marriage without second thought. A related contention, that a society allowing homosexuals to marry will breed polygamy, can be dismissed with similar expediency. Almost always portrayed as a religious stance against an encroaching secularism, gay marriage opponents too often believe the next logical step following same-sex marriage will be state-sanctioned polygamy. A basic Google search of polygamy, next logical step, yields blog upon blog of evangelical angst quoting former Dutch politician Boris Dietrich's assertion that gay marriage necessarily precedes plural marriage. On its face, this argument made in America convicts the user of impressive naivete towards American plural marriage, what people mean when they say polygamy, and even less understanding of the separate institution called polyamory. Polyamory, not polygamy, is the secular practice of holding multiple, mutually shared romantic partners. If a polyamorous agenda exists, which gives practitioners more credit as a collective than is due, it does not include marriage licenses unattainable today. This makes sense when considering how many polyamorous incarnations involve a core two-person relationship choosing to integrate a shared third, or fourth, or fifth. While respectful partners treat significant others with dignity, in polyamory, an extra third or an extra couple does not imply an equal distribution of love and affection, Neither does it portend more than an abbreviated commitment fulfilling the urges of bisexuality, variety, or a differing expression of love. Some polyamorous groupings want long-term relationships with multiple fronts, but not all, or even many, do. When defenders of traditional marriage bemoan secularism's alleged risks, they may speak of polyamory, but not polygamy. They may cite legitimate polyamorous criticisms, jealousy, a bureaucracy of boundaries, and a stable home for raising children, none of which monogamy is exempt from. But the reference cannot include polygamy. The faithful agree in standing against plural marriage, but they don't like stating who polygamy's potential perpetrators are. Far from secular, American polygamy exists as a monopoly of fundamentalist religion. Plural marriage's most frequent form comes via polygyny, allowing the male to carry numerous wives, but not the inverse. The New York Times puts the number engaging in plural marriage in the state of Utah alone at no less than 40,000, an exclusive population of the fundamentalist Latter-day Saints, FLDS. Since the 19th century, condemning polygamy has been a way to bring the secular and religious together, dating back to the shared belief that Joseph Smith created a religion to seduce and justify sleeping with women he had not married. The consequences of polygamy, as argued by U.S. Solicitor General Ted Olson before the Supreme Court, bind its opposition against child and spousal abuse, tax issues, custody battles, and the practice of rendering women as illiterate chattel devoid of prospects off their compound. Fundamentalism, and by extension polygamy, is the cliched crazy uncle mainstream religion does not want to admit exists. The religious can agree with secularists in opposing plural marriage, but they cannot pretend their crazy uncle is a problem for anyone but themselves. Aside from disingenuous, when evangelicals fight homosexual matrimony under the guise of staving off a polygamous onslaught, they're demanding legal protection not from an intolerant secular world, but from their own disgraced relations. Like them or not, they're still yours. From KUOI News, this is Brian Marceau.
Guess by now you know that I'm devoted to you. I'll never hurt you, I'll never lie, I'll never be untrue. I'll never give you reason to cry, I'd be unhappy.
A last duet from today's featured album, What the Brothers Sang, by Don McCarthy and Bonnie Prince Billy. That song was titled Devoted to You. If you are devoted to nothing but the best new music, then keep your dial right here on 89.3 FM in Moscow. That's going to do it for KUI News for Monday, April 1st, 2013. But the Argonaut doesn't stop here.
Check out your student newspaper
on Facebook,
Twitter,
and Pinterest.
Also, be sure to check out the rest of Student Media's outlets, including...
RAR.
RAI.
RAR.
RAR is the Argonauts Weekly Arts and Entertainment tab that showcases everything from reviews to quirky features. Find RAR inside the Argonaut every Friday and online at uiargonaut.com, as well as on Facebook and Twitter by following at RAR Weekly.
Can't get enough Argonaut photos? Look at online exclusive photos and more on our Facebook page at facebook.com/uiargonaut.
Hangry? Hungry? Parched, craving something sweet? Visit the Argonauts food blog, Crumbs, at uiargonaut.com/crumbs. Like Crumbs on Facebook and follow at UICrumbs on Twitter and Pinterest for new recipes every week.
To stay up to date on everything Idaho athletics, check out Vandal Nation at thevandalnation.com, on Facebook at facebook.com/Idaho Vandals, and certainly check us out on Twitter at Vandal Nation.
And don't forget about the University of Idaho student magazine.
Leprechauns are said to hide pots of gold at the ends of rainbows. If you're lucky, you'll find one pot in your life. Blot comes out twice a semester, and it's as close as your nearest newsstand or your computer. Go with the sure thing. Go with Blot. Find your pot of gold at blot.uidaho.edu.
Once again, I'd like to thank everyone for listening. I'm Dylan Brown. Have a great Monday.